May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see, but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. 671. Numbers chapter 13, and we will commence at verse 17 and then read on into chapter 14 to verse 25. Numbers chapter 13, commencing at verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 years. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me, for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them, by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, we would seek for grace to humbly fall before thee. Thou who dost hold our life and our breath in thy hand, thou who hast the keys of death and of hell, but thou who art mighty to save. O Lord, Lord, as thou hast spared us once more to gather in this thy house of prayer. Oh, we do seek that thou wilt grant to us the gracious help and divine aid of thy Holy Spirit, and that we may be enabled to worship thee from our hearts in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. Lord, do draw us away from the busy scenes of life that many have been occupied in this day. And oh, we pray that we may know and sweetly feel thy sacred presence, both within our hearts and within these walls, that we may hear from thee what thou wilt speak to us. We would pray as Samuel did of old, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. O Lord, thou knowest those that long to hear thy voice, long for a token for good, long for thee to visit their souls with thy salvation, long for a blessing indeed, long to know their pardon signed and their peace procured. Oh, if it would please thee, do rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains that many may have tonight, Lord, might flow down at thy presence. O Lord, we would come pleading thy precious name, thy precious blood. Oh, we would come, Lord, begging and pleading for mercy, pleading for that real penitent heart and contrite spirit, pleading that thou wilt wash us in that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness, the fountain of thy precious blood. Oh, may burdened sinners lose their load, and downcast souls rejoice as we gather this night. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to help us to wrestle with thee and give thee no rest until thou dost bless us. Oh, do grant to us that real religion that thou dost give to thy dear people, and said, am I quickened by thy Spirit? Lord, may that be the continual concern of our hearts, that we might be amongst those that are truly born again, those that long for thy appearing, long for thee to assure them that they are thine and that thou art theirs and ours, Lord. And oh, we pray that we may be delivered from ourselves, delivered from all carnal religion and that which is just to the creature, Lord. And oh, may we be blessed with that real religion that's more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And oh, we pray for the application of thy precious word. Oh, we seek thy rich blessing upon that which we have read together. And oh, Lord, may thy word within us live. before thee each of thy dear people. Lord, thou knowest what each one stands in need of before they ask or even think. We pray that thou wilt suit thy word to every sinner's case. Knowest those that are in deep need, Lord, both in their souls and in their pathway. Oh, we pray thou wilt come and supply that need. May they have that faith to believe like the hymn writer when he said, my every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. Those, dear Lord, that need comfort, we pray that thou wilt comfort their souls in all their sorrows, in all their distresses. May they prove thou art the comforter of thy people. And thou hast promised, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Lord, do bless the young and rising race. We pray for the dear children that gather and the dear young people. That thou wilt work mightily in them, if it be thy holy will. May thy tender filial fear be found in their hearts. May they have an aching void which this world can never fill. And may they be kept from this world and all that would draw them away from thee and from thy truth. And O Lord, may there be raised up a seed that shall serve thee, a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And O Lord, do hear the prayers of the dear parents and grant them all needed wisdom and grace and help to bring up their offspring. And O Lord, we pray that thou wilt provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives, suitable employment, help those in all their studies. And dear Lord, do grant safe deliverance to those that carry offspring. We pray for thee to come and grant them, Lord, that quietness and peace and submission. And especially help one as the hours draw near for a deliverance. We pray for that safe deliverance to be given, that help and strength. And we pray that life may be spared and life be given. Lord, others who may need thee in various ways, we pray that thou wilt come to each one and meet each case, Lord. And nothing is too hard for thee. Give us that faith, Lord, to believe it, and faith to trust in thee, and faith to look unto thee. And do take away all our unbelief. Lord, it's so sure to err, one said, and scan thy work in vain. May we have a little of that faith that dear Caleb and Joshua had as they went into the promised land. Lord, we pray that thou wilt work and that thou wilt send that needed healing to those in affliction. Lord, who make each bed in each affliction, and especially thy dear servants as they are laid aside, so many of them, Lord. We pray if it would please thee, thou wilt yet heal them, and they might once again, if it's thy holy will, declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. Lord, do bless the ministry of thy servants as they come here. and throughout Zion. May thy word through them be crowned with success. And O Lord, do bring in from the village and the area here, if it would please thee, those yet that shall fear thee. We would pray with the hymn writer, awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. Lord, thou canst do it. Many prayers are put up for those that have forsaken thy courts, up and down this land and in others. Many have forsaken Zion's ways. But Lord, the power is thine. Oh, if it would please thee yet, may almighty love arrest them, that they might be brought to feel the need of an hiding place. And may many be born again, Lord, in these dark days. And it may be said, as thou hast said in thy word, if Zion it shall be said, that this man and that man was born there. And O Lord, do increase the church with godly souls, if it would please thee. May there be others constrained to follow thee, to keep thy commandments. Lord, thou knowest there may be those that have vowed, if thou dost bless them, they will venture. We pray that thou wilt come and fulfill their desires and grant them, Lord, that grace to keep the vows. Lord, we would pray for the deacons here that will give them all needed wisdom and grace, heavenly guidance and direction, to bless the hymns. And may there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And O Lord, in the midst of deserved wrath, remember this nation. Lord, we have sinned against thee. Thou hast said in thy word, ye have forgotten me, even this whole nation. And Lord, so solemn it is that we have. We beg of thee to work in our Queen and the royal family and our Prime Minister and the government, Lord, ministers and those that bear office in every way in the land. That they may be brought to look to thee and to turn to thee for that wisdom and direction and help in all the affairs of this land. And may we as a nation, Lord, be brought to confess our many sins, to acknowledge them before thee, and to beg for mercy. And oh, do remember those in famine and those in war, Lord, stricken land, and those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Oh, we beg of thee to appear. Lord, our need is so great. But oh, we do thank thee. Thou art greater than all our need. And do come and anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. May that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. And O Lord, do grant a real spirit of healing. And may thy word be made life and power to us, Lord. And may there yet be that fruit to follow. And we would seek that thou would help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies, all thy goodness. And that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now, dear Lord, do be with us. Help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim, and and forgive anything we have uttered amiss and make up where we so fail. So we would ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1051. Alas, what hourly dangers rise, what snares beset my way. To heaven, O let me lift my eyes, and hourly watch and pray. 1051.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of Joshua, chapter 13, and the first verse. The book of Joshua, chapter 13, and the first verse. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. The book of Joshua, chapter 13, and verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Is that last clause really that I would desire to set before you this evening, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Thinking of coming here yesterday, the Lord seemed to drop these words in to my heart, and one needs much grace to bring them before you. First of all, we read of the commission that Moses gave, and it was not just Moses gave it, but God gave it to those that were appointed of him to go and spy out the land of Canaan. And you will remember that, as we read, that Caleb and Joshua were the only two of the 12 tribes that went forth to bring back a good report of the land of Canaan. The other 10 brought back an evil report, and there was a solemn difference between Caleb and Joshua and those 10. Caleb and Joshua were blessed with living faith in gracious exercise as they went forth to look at the land. The other 10, they looked at the giants, the walled cities, the enemies that were in the land. And what happened? They brought back that evil report because of unbelief. Now, I want you to firstly think of this evening is this, that maybe those of you this evening, why we had to read those sacred words that have many giants before you. You see, there were those giants of Anak in the land. Caleb and Joshua knew in and of themselves they couldn't overcome the giants. They couldn't possess the land. But under the help of heaven, they could overcome all these giants and overcome these walled cities and overcome the enemies in the land. And one feels tonight, oh, the need of that faith to believe. You see, so often we're looking at the impossibilities, aren't we? And you see, those 10, they looked at all these things that were against them, and unbelief in them. It made them sink, didn't it? They couldn't see how ever they could overcome, and they couldn't themselves, but that's all they were looking at, was as they viewed it. But you know, faith will look far above the impossibilities. So we venture by saying this, that are those who've got these giants, got these walled cities, got these impossibilities, but poor soul, have you got faith to believe you're overcome through your God? There are two blessed things, two blessed words really that we read together. Well, of course there's more, but two seem to stand out to me. First of all, what Caleb said. And we read this, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. You know, there may be many of you tossed around, many that are perplexed, many in a low place, many Satan tempts and troubles, and you become agitated and you wonder where the scene will end. But what did Caleb do? He stilled the people. And this wasn't just Caleb himself, it was the Lord doing it. May you know, and may I, that sweet stillness within. You know, some beautiful words, aren't there, in Holy Writ, where the Lord speaks of stilling his people. Quietening them. Delivering them from all the agitation they feel within. And Caleb stilled the people. I think of that beautiful word in the 46th Psalm. Be still and know that I am God. In other words, be sweetly resigned to his will. Know no will but his. But then he went further, Caleb did, and he said this. Concerning the land of Canaan, it's a parallel word from what's in our text. Let us go up at once and possess it. Are there those things in your heart and in your pathway you're yet to possess? Now I want to look at them in a moment, but I just want to name these two things. He said, let us go up at once and possess it. That is faith venturing upon the Lord, you see. Let us go up at once and possess it. Now let us look at the giants and all the things that hold us back, but let us go up at once. I may have told you before, but some years ago I preached from the following chapter and special service at Tunbridge Wells, and during the discourse I mentioned this beautiful word, let us go up at once and possess it, and there was a young couple there unbeknown to me of what they were in, and they were anticipating marriage, and they looked at a house and they were really concerned whether it's the Lord's will that they should buy it. And the couple, they said among themselves, we'll leave it to after the Lord's Day and after the services on the bank holiday, and then we'll seek the Lord's will, and whatever he tells us we'll do. And then I spoke from these words during the discourse, let us go up at once and possess it. And you know, they said one to the other, this is exactly what we got to do. And the Lord made it so clear to them through that sermon. But then Caleb goes further, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, you see, you've got the impossibilities. It may be in providence, it may be in your soul, or in the family, or regarding following the Lord in his sacred ordinances. And there's all these impossibilities. And you think, well, however can we overcome them? There's all our fears. There's all the obstacles that Satan puts in the way. The many impossibilities. But what does he say? For we are well able to overcome it. Faith in him believed. The Lord would enable them to overcome. What do we read in the Revelations? To him that overcometh. Now how did they overcome? And how will you overcome? How will I? Not in and of ourselves. Let's be very clear about that. Because in ourselves we're as weak as worms, the hymn writer said. But through him that overcame. And you think how the dear Lord Jesus overcame the sins of his people, overcame Satan, overcame all those things that, as for the children of God that he came into this world to suffer, bleed and die for. Look how he overcame the afflictions of those who are afflicted. To him that overcometh. Now he says, for we are well able to overcome. And you may say, if only I could believe this. But you know, there's a second word that I would just name. And that is just before the closing of the reading in chapter 14. He says this, and it's recorded by the Holy Spirit concerning Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. What was that spirit? It wasn't the spirit of the world or the spirit of the flesh or the spirit of the devil, was it? It was the spirit of God, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of humility. The spirit of faith in gracious exercise. Another spirit in him. Not his own spirit. Solemn thing if we do something in our own spirit, isn't it? Then Caleb says this. And it's recorded by the Holy Spirit. This is what God said rather concerning Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. We read concerning Joshua, and we read concerning Caleb, they both followed the Lord fully. They didn't just partly follow the Lord. They followed him fully. Now look in your heart and mine, are we among those that have followed the Lord fully? Many say they're followers of Christ. There were those in the days where the Lord Jesus was upon the earth. But what happened? As soon as the way got rough, as soon as the way got hard, or as soon as his ministry got too searching for them, they went back and walked no more with him. They didn't follow the Lord fully. Nor did those ten that went into the land. They didn't follow the Lord fully, but Caleb and Joshua did. And not much could be said concerning this, following him fully. Him, this is what the Lord said, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So there was not only the blessing to descend upon Caleb, but through his seed as well, those to follow. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So many of us long for our children and grandchildren to be real followers of the Lord and to be amongst those that possess the land. Because the land, you see, was of Canaan, was a beautiful type of heaven. Now, as helped, I just want to briefly look a little at this text. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Now, Caleb, of course, and Joshua, and it speaks about Joshua here particularly. Joshua was an old man. In the following chapter, we read, "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive," he says. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses that they should possess the land, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. You see, he was an old man now, but there was still much land to be possessed. The Lord had assured Joshua that he would enter the promised land, Canaan, and the Lord had brought him into it. But in that land there was much to possess. Now, I don't know what you may be in this evening. We can look at this in providence. There are times when there is much land to be possessed. Many of us can look back and see how with their forefathers and that there were those wonderful things in providence they were to possess, such as land and property and so on. Let us go up at once and possess it. But I want to look at it particularly spiritually. You think in your heart this evening, are there those things you long to be in possession of? I remember when I was in my early days and I used to look at some of the Lord's dear chosen children and I used to think, well, they've got something that I haven't got. They have in possession in their hearts the wonderful grace of God. Now, do we desire to possess that grace? And once the Lord gives us a taste of it, we want to possess more. And the older I get, the more I feel to need more and more grace. And we read, don't we, in John's Gospel, "But he giveth more and more grace." And there may be those of you, "Lord, may I possess that grace." Well, poor soul, if that's the longing of your heart, it's an evidence you've got grace, because it's only the sinner with grace that will long for grace. He says here, "For there remaineth very much land to be possessed." It is to be possessed, and it will be possessed by God's dear people. We read in the Acts of the Apostles of the great grace that he gave to those in the apostles' day. Men of great grace. And it may be in some particular way this evening that you need that grace. It may be you're walking through a path of affliction. And here he promised Joshua, there remaineth yet very much land of us be possessed. That land of grace. And it's still to be possessed and will be the desire and longing of the heart of the child of God right till they breathe their last. Lord, give me grace to live, but give me grace to die. And it's to be possessed. I can't get away from this. It's to be possessed. And he didn't say that it would be a little, did he? He said, very much land. Now you think of that this evening. If nothing this evening, may this text be applied to us. You know, I long for it in my soul. I long for it for you all here. And I long for it from all my flock at home and for all God's dear children. But I long for it in the ministry too, and throughout Zion. We live in a day, of course, where many of our chapels are being closed, but you know, you look back in the last century and earlier than that, and I was reading in the old church book at home that in Mr. Cowper's time, he was the first pastor at the Dicker, that on the church roll there were over 100 members, plus the deacons, and they appointed 11 elders to deal with the material things of the church, and then the president, who was the pastor. And you think of, they walked miles to here. They wanted to possess the vital things of God, they did. And they couldn't rest until they possessed them. Well, you look in the Word of God, at some precious characters. Well, think firstly of the blind men. They came to the Lord Jesus. There they were, helpless, blind, couldn't see. They longed to possess sight, didn't they? And they couldn't rest until he gave it to them. Such earnestness was found in their hearts, but you know, it wasn't just sight naturally. Because you know, they each came, like blind Bartimaeus and those others, the two blind men, they came seeking mercy, didn't they? They said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And what a land to possess is God's mercy. And those blind men needed it. Now, not only did they need their sight to be restored, this to be possessed, but they needed sight spiritually. I know some of you would say, if only we had a little view by faith of a preciousness and suitability and sufferings of the Lord Jesus and the assurance he suffered for us. You long to possess that, don't you? But you think, when the Lord gave those dear men sight, what did one say? One thing I know. He didn't have many things to boast of, did he? But one thing he knew. Whereas I was blind, but now I see. He was able to possess that sight, so he could see the things of this earth which he'd not seen before. He could see the beauty of the hand of God in creation. He could see those of his loved ones he'd never seen before. But look at it spiritually. Oh, to possess this land of sight. You know, when we read the Word of God, to the natural man it's print on the page, and so is it in the child of God when the Lord hides his face from it. But when he gives us a little sight, and we can only have that sight by faith, it's given, you see, to view the suitability of the precious promises, the suitability of the precious Word of God, and you will see in it, as he gives you that sight, things you've never seen before. You know, there are texts that the Lord sometimes gives me, and I look at them naturally, and I think, well, whatever could I say about it? But you know, when the Lord opens it up and he reveals it to you, you can see in it the depths and the reality and the preciousness of what the Lord has couched in his Word. It's full of the Lord Jesus. Oh, it is. And then there may be those of you that feel blind, you cannot see your way in providence. You know, there are many things that blind us, aren't there? There's our sin. There's our unbelief. There's our carnal state. We're so often so blind. What does the hymn writer say? Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. The world are blinded in sin, blinded in natural religion, blinded in the things of this world. They've got natural sight, but when it comes to the vital things of God, they're blind. That's why they see no beauty in it, and no beauty in the Saviour. But to faith. What does the text say? There remaineth yet much, very much land to be possessed. Oh, you think of that land of mercy that the Lord unfolds to sinners, the land of sight. You think of those ten as they went into the land, they looked at it all from a natural point of view. And there may be those of you in the land naturally, in things in your providential, you look at them and you cannot see what the purposes of heaven are in it, or what to do in it, because we're so often blind. But when he opens the eye of faith and he takes away the blindness, we can see then the purposes of heaven in it, and what the Lord's will is, and what his purpose is concerning us. Beautiful verse, isn't it? His purposes will ripen fast. Unfolding, you see, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. But what is particularly with me concerning this, just while we pursue this thought of the land of sight, the view of the dear Redeemer, view him. What did the hymn writer say? I saw one hanging on a tree, in garments dyed in blood. Oh, do you know what it is, and do you long to? What a land where you can find all that you need in the dear Redeemer. Very much land. And you know, as the child of God goes along, there'll be favour to view more and more of him, and more of his suitability, more and more of his preciousness, more and more of the sacredness of his person, his precious hands, his wounded side, his feet. You think of dear Thomas, when the Lord took away all that unbelief. my Lord and my God. He was a land that he didn't have to come into naturally, but he did spiritually, didn't he? In his poor soul. It's a mercy, isn't it? There's still much land to be possessed. And really, this was a wonderful prospect. And I say it for the encouragement of you dear young ones here tonight. You think of Joshua here coming down towards his grave. He was to die at 110. You can read it in the last chapter of this sacred book. But there was still very much land to be possessed. Those that were to follow him were to possess it, because all the land of Canaan was to be given to Israel. All the enemies to be swept out. There may be those of you tonight, and I seek to be led into this, that have many enemies within you. Not just outside, within us. The land that's got to be rid of them all. They've all got to go, you know, you can read so many times throughout the sacred word of God where the Lord said he would drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite. He would drive them all out. They wouldn't have to do it. But the Lord would do it, you see. Why? That they might possess the land. This was the sole reason that they might possess that land. It was given to them. You think of the promise the Lord gave to godly Abraham and to his seed that they should possess the land. But the other point that is much with me is this. The land of pardon. Are there those of you tonight? Sin troubles you. Sin perplexes you. Sin causes you much inward grief, much distress, many tears, much weeping. And oh, you say, Lord, will we ever possess that land of pardon and of peace? Will we ever possess it? Will he ever show mercy and pardon upon us? Now you think of the dear publican. That dear man was to possess the land of pardon. And you see why it is so vital. And let us ever remember it, is because we are never getting to heaven without it. I love those words of dear Mr. Hart. I love his hymns. For depth of experience, they're profound. He said, when his pardon is signed and his peace is procured, is that a land you long to enter into? There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And you know there's many in Zion that the Lord has blessed. And they're blessed with a measure of liberty. But they're not blessed as yet with their pardon signed and their peace procured. But here's the sweet promise, there's very much land to be possessed. And the hour will come when those dear souls will possess it. Oh yes. Very much land. And oh, when the Lord grants it, pardoning love, forgiving love, Son, thy sins that are many are all forgiven. Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace. When the Lord gives it, you'll feel so unworthy you should ever possess it. Do you know what it is in Providence to Sometimes you look at your home, you look at your land, and you feel, Lord, so it's so unworthy to possess it. But then you think about it in a far greater way spiritually. Are we not so unworthy to possess the blessings of heaven? Our pardon signed. The sweet assurance that Christ died for us and suffered, bled and died. And there it remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. But then there's the blessings, isn't there? You think, and you can go back to Genesis 49, and you read through that chapter, and you'll find for every one of those sons of Father Israel, Jacob, there was to be a blessing. And those were blessings they were all to possess. And then if you go into Deuteronomy 33... When Moses was to come to the close of his life, you'll find the same blessings descending on those 12 tribes of Israel. And here, as a continuance of it, in the land of Canaan, they were all to have proportioned to them their land God had given them. In spite of all the unbelief. And you think about the blessings. Oh, Mother, those of you praying like dear Jabez of old, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. You see others bless and you say, Lord, but do give me the blessing. There's a beautiful couplet in one of our hymns, and I will just name it tonight, and it's this: thou shalt obtain the blessing yet, Jesus will not thy cries forget. You think how the Lord wonderfully blessed Jabez. He gave him his request, didn't he? Oh, he did. You know, dear Father Israel, Jacob, you look how the Lord blessed him there, firstly at Bethel, and then when he was faced with Esau and those 400 men against him, and Jacob was left alone, and oh, how he wrestled with the Lord. Are those of you longing to possess the heavenly blessings? And what do we read? The Lord blessed him there. I think of that beautiful promise too. In blessing, he says, I will bless thee. And this blessing is to be possessed, you see. Oh, it is. By the Lord's dear children. Blessed with his sweet presence. Blessed with the peace in their soul. Blessed with answers of prayer. When is it the poor sinner can rightly follow the Lord? When they're under the blessing. Wonderful place, you know, when the Lord fills us, isn't it? What do we read concerning Naphtali? Satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord. Sacred place, isn't it, when we're full of the blessing of the Lord. Do you long for it tonight? The old preachers used to say that Christ is precious in the want of him. The sinner that wants the blessing, longs for the blessing, shall obtain the blessing in God's appointed time and way. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And then we think of those of you that may have deep in your heart the exercise of following your dear Redeemer. Very much land to be possessed. The land of obedience. The land of following Him, keeping His commandments, obeying His voice. Is to be possessed. And there will be that place appointed for you, you see, in the Church of God. You think of Abraham's servant when he went to seek a wife for Isaac. Oh, you think of that dear man. He was so exercised about the commission laid upon him by God and by Abraham. And all the prayers that went out of that dear man's heart, he wanted to possess Rebecca, to take her back for Isaac. But you look at the exercise he had when he came to the house of Laban and Bethuel. How would they receive him? You may say, how will the church receive me? And what did they say? You see, the Lord had gone before. And what did they say? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? And then listen. For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. You see, the Lord was in it all. Oh, he was. Even prepared the house. And room for the camels. But before I leave it tonight, I just want to set before you this land of Canaan. You see that they were to possess was filled with milk and honey. Oh, so different than the wilderness they'd been in, wasn't it? They'd had sweet times through the wilderness. They'd seen the smitten rock. They'd seen the wonderful deliverances of the Lord. It may be the land to possess tonight is wonderful answers of prayer. You think of dear Hannah. She longed to possess her Samuel, didn't she? The day came where the Lord gave him to her. But oh, look at what she had to go through. She longed to possess the blessing of the Lord in her soul, turning all the darkness and bondage and sorrow she'd been in into joy. Some of you may have been in a dark place for a long time, or in bondage for a long time, and you long to possess liberty. You long to possess the blessing of the Lord. Him turning the sorrow into joy. But what I was going to say was this, you know, that land of Canaan. We think of the land of heaven. You see, the wilderness was not their home, was it? They were all to land in Canaan, on Canaan's happy shore. But, oh, the child of God, as they travel here through this wilderness, the wonderful things they possess, which the Lord had given them, they shall obtain it. But, this is not their home. They desire a better country. The apostle said that is in heavenly. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And oh, what do we read? The wise shall inherit glory. They shall inherit it. You see, these were to inherit the land of Canaan. The Lord had promised them it. It was their inheritance. And so it is in glory. He's prepared the place, you see. And these souls will possess it. And they won't rest until they possess it. To be with Christ. Without a veil between. In glory. But the time's more than gone, I must pray. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this text to us. And may it remain in our hearts. I've only scratched around the surface of it tonight. But may we be enabled, like Caleb, to keep our eyes fixed on a precious Jesus. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves through grace are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. 535.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. Help us to plead that thou wilt fulfil it in every way in our souls and in the pathway. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.